how to exercise, how often to exercise, what exercises to do, what exercises not to do, which exercises work, which ones don't work, which ones are dangerous, which ones are dodgy, which ones are effective. And there's a million questions about exercise. Could there be a better question? How do I get fit and strong? And there seems to be no argument about that from all the medical experts in the world, whether it's a cardiologist, an endocrinologist, an exercise physiologist, even a psychologist on how to have a healthy, fit, strong brain. It seems that we need to get fit and strong. And there doesn't seem to be too much argument about how to get fit. You've got to get puffed, got to overload your cardiovascular and respiratory system, your central nervous system and your endocrine system. And if you want to get strong, you need to overload your skeletal system and your muscular system, your endocrine system and your central nervous system. It's all pretty simple. Overload your muscles and bones, your heart and lungs and all the systems in your body and you'll get fit and strong. Yay. Why then is there so much argument after that? And interestingly, because one of the things I do every day, of course, is I have to. It's what I do. I have an international fitness business college and I'm an exercise professional. I have to listen to and have to keep up with the latest research from the experts in the world, the scientists who study exercise physiology and the muscular system and the endocrine system and the central nervous system. And what's really fascinating for me and often very frustrating is that they all disagree. They don't disagree that you need to be fit and you need to be strong. That's it. Everyone agrees that you need to be fit and strong. Nobody says it's really important to get unfit and be weak. Everyone agrees that when you have a fit, strong body, everything works so much better. Everybody agrees that if you have a fit, strong body, that all the systems of your body, including your endocrine system and your digestive system and your skeletal and muscular system and your hormonal system and even your immune system will all work so much better if you're fit and strong. But it's the application of that that seems to create such controversy and contradiction among the experts. And once they all agree that we need to get fit and strong, then they start arguing about how many exercises to do and how many times to do it and which ones are good and which ones are bad. And they make it so complicated. How would us mere mortals be able to sort through all of the numbers and the periodization programs and the complication of numbers and sets and reps and exercises and biomechanics and exercise physiology that the experts produce after they all agree that we should be fit and strong? Well, I can't work with that because I have to, as you do as an exercise professional, we have to create something simple and easy to understand for the general public because, as I often share, I don't know too many people that would sit through a 2 or 3 hour lecture on how muscles work or how biomechanics works or how the endocrine system works because it's big words and it's boring and usually the people delivering the information are really boring and although some of the information is very exciting, their delivery methods are very boring. So what do I do as an exercise professional to keep it interesting and exciting, but most importantly, simple? Well, I finally heard the most common sense, direct, logical, exciting information ever delivered by an exercise physiologist ever. In fact, it was a professor of exercise physiology and he obviously, like everybody else, has agreed that we need to get fit and strong. So the question was, what is the component, the number one component for getting people fit and strong? What do we need to do as exercise professionals, as doctors, as medical professionals? We know that people have to be fit. We know that people have to be strong. What is the number one component that we need to promote? And are you ready? It's not a word that I've ever used, but it excites the hell out of me. Adherence. He put it beautifully. He said, if you don't do it, it won't work. Doesn't matter what exercise program. If you move, you will break chemical bonds and you will burn up carbon and you will breathe in oxygen, breathe out carbon dioxide faster and you will get fit. You will burn fat. You will get strong. But you have to move. So if you're not doing it, it won't work. Adherence. So here's a really great question that I have for every medical professional, exercise professional, anybody that's interested in creating information for the general public so that they get fit and strong. And I'll share it again. Is it possible that if there's 10% of people who go to a gym or think about exercise or have an exercise program that will have any effect on their health and fitness, that's fantastic. But what about the 90% of people that don't have an exercise program that will add any value to their long-term health and fitness and strength and quality of life? What can we do for those people? And I've got it. It's A, adherence. What do we need to do as exercise professionals, as medical professionals, as people who are excited about health and fitness to get people to adhere to their exercise? And is it possible that if we keep it simple, if we keep it short, if we keep it uncomplicated, that people might be more likely to adhere to their exercise program? But guess what? Does it matter? As an exercise professional, this is what something that I have been sharing passionately for as long as I can remember, and I'm a very old lady. There's three parts to being an exercise professional. Number one, get people fit. Number two, get people strong and know how to do it from because you know your anatomy and physiology. And number three, everybody's a unique individual. So should we ask, find out, and then create an exercise program that each individual person can adhere to? So I prefer the word stick to because it's easier. So what do we need to do to an exercise program to make sure that people stick to it? And if you go back to the absolute fundamentals and basics of anatomy and physiology, if you move, you have to create energy. And if you are creating energy, you need to breathe in oxygen. You'll break chemical bonds, carbon bonds inside your body. They will attach to the oxygen that you breathe in. You'll then breathe out carbon dioxide. And the faster you do that, the better, the fitter you'll get, the stronger you'll get, the more your brain will have to work to do that because your central nervous system's involved, the more your hormones will have to work because your hormonal system's involved. And it's pretty simple. So what do we need to do to get each individual person to stick to their exercise program? And is it possible that if we complicate it and make it hard and difficult and long and boring and come up with all the different numbers and reps and sets and complications, is it possible that we'll lose people and we may never get them back again? And I have to share that because I've been an exercise professional all of my life. And until I started to actually understand anatomy and physiology, not just preach it out my mouth without having any understanding, I was just repeating, regurgitating, vomiting exercise programs onto people that I had no understanding of how they worked or why we would do them. Is it possible that if we understand how the human body works and we learn our anatomy and physiology, that we could keep exercise short, fast, and simple? So I'm going to ask the question again. Should we be telling people how long to exercise, or is it possible that we need to create something short? And I often ask the question, yes, there are people, of course, who love to exercise for long, but could there come a time in their life where they don't have time? They don't have an hour or 2 hours every day. They don't have a time frame to be able to go to the gym 7 days a week or 5 days a week. Should we be able to create exercise programs that people can stick to regardless of what's going on in their life? So whether they're busy or stressed or tired or they've got new children in their life or they've moved house or something else is going on in their life, they can still stick to their exercise program. So there's my challenge. Do you know how to get people really fit and really strong because you understand your anatomy and physiology? And when you have a person sitting in front of you, do you know how to apply that knowledge, how to get fit and how to get strong, to their lifestyle? And of course, how can you help somebody with their lifestyle, their health, their fitness, their strength, if you don't ask a stack of questions? So as an exercise professional, could it be really important to find out exactly what people want, why they want it, where they want it to happen, when they want it to happen, the stuff that they've hated doing in the past? I often ask that question, what do you love to do the most? And people say, I hate exercise. I bloody hate it. And I always follow up with, well, which one do you hate the least? And if it was only short, and then if it didn't take any more time than brushing your teeth. And I often pre-frame with that, do you brush your teeth? Do you have a shower? For women, I ask, do you put makeup on? Do you do your hair? How much time in a day do you invest into looking good on the outside or smelling good or being clean? So what if we could create an exercise program for you so that you'd be healthy, fit, and strong on the inside so that your outside looks even better? and it didn't take any longer than brushing your teeth or doing your hair or having a shower or putting your makeup on. And I'm committed to that. Often people ask me, Roe, how come you don't teach group exercise classes anymore, for example? Well, group exercise classes in most facilities are 45 minutes or an hour. And yes, I get that people love to do that. It's almost like a cult. I love to go to the gym and do my 45-minute class. But is it possible that for some people, 45 minutes is an eternity and they don't want to exercise for that long? So I want to leave the example of somebody who does short, sharp, easy, fast exercise. And when I say easy, for me, it's really hard to go out for a long time. It's long and it's boring and it takes up too much time. If I can efficiently get really fit and really strong in a short period of time, and what is the shortest period of time so that I can stick to it regardless, then what would I need to be doing? And I don't want to tell people what to do. I want to live the example. So when people say, what's the least amount of exercise you can do to be fit and strong? Or if people say, Roe, what do you do to be fit and strong? You're an old lady and you're really fit and strong. How come? And I can answer honestly with, I do as little as possible. Literally, I exercise for the shortest period of time possible to get the best results possible. And as I always share, for me, that's a 10-second sprint four times an hour. So four puffs an hour. And I lift something heavy once a week, once every 10 days, sometimes twice a week if I'm not lifting as heavy as I would like to because I've got an injury or something's going on in my life. And I share that because for most of my life I did stupid, dumb exercises because I didn't understand my anatomy and physiology. So yes, I've screwed up every joint in my body. So sometimes I have to be really careful about the way I sprint and the way I lift heavy. But I'm fully aware that if I sprint, if I get puffed and if I lift heavy, I'll overload my muscles, my bones, my heart, my lungs, my hormones, my central nervous system, my digestive system, my immune system, everything will get fit and strong, which means I'll be a fit, strong human being. I'll be in full control of my health. I'll be in control of my emotions because I'll have full control over my brain chemistry. And I'll just use that as a quick side example. If you sprint, if you get puffed, if you overload your muscles and bones, you initially pump an epinephrine and adrenaline, which are movement drugs. Once you've pumped those at a high intense level, your brain then produces dopamine, serotonin, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which makes you feel amazing. So even if you're miserable or grumpy or anxious or depressed, if you go and get puffed, lift heavy, you change your brain chemistry so you feel great. So if you want that for the people in your life, you want them to be fit, you want them to be strong, you want them to be happy, you want them to reduce the risk of being depressed, being anxious, being overweight, being sick, picking up a germ, bug or virus and getting sick from it. Isn't it awesome when you've got a healthy, fit, strong body that even if you pick up a germ or a bug, you'll get rid of it really quickly? If you want that for your family, your friends, the people that you care about, your clients, your members, the people that participate in whatever it is that you do when it comes to exercise, wouldn't it be nice if we could get them to stick to it? Adherence. What is the number one component of an exercise program to make it work? Adherence. Here's my challenge. What do you need to do as an exercise professional to learn your anatomy and physiology so that you can help your clients to stick to the exercise program? Great question.